Welcome.
Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Felica. You made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of
it. You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN.
So Kendrick Perkins, who was out in front nationally calling the Miami Heat them goons and supporting Miami Heat things in a way that was very strange from Kendrick Perkins, because he's at the center, literally at the center of the one title that Boston has won in Mike Ryan's lifetime, as he shakes a fist at the Boston Celtics for never winning anything. Now, I did like the stat that was thrown out there, Stugatz, that LeBron James has played in 13.5% of the finals that there have been.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody countered from the past with Bill Russell has won 15% of the finals that there have been.
Was it Bob Ryan?
But Boston winning was a long time ago. And now Kendrick Perkins is on television. I think, Mike, I think this is the best you can do in terms of headed into this series. He says the Lakers winning the title is not a slam dunk, that he expects it to go six or seven games. So even the Heat's most ardent national supporter is at best saying, look, I expect them to fight, but I don't expect them to necessarily win. Is anyone nationally going to pick this Heat team? Because I really do think I might be able to talk myself into this by Wednesday. But the thing that I can't do, or I'm having trouble with, Stugatz, is the following. Because it's not just that the Lakers have the two best players. It's that I just watched, to my shock, Dwight Howard bother Jokic. I just saw, to my shock, Dwight Howard get inserted in a game,
right,
and create, on both ends, create problems where Jokic was getting fouls, and I don't know what that's going to do to Bam. Like, I don't know how that's going to link up, because Dwight Howard was a former defensive player of the year. It was a long time ago, but I just don't know how that's going to look, because basically LeBron James is Bam's size. LeBron James is, and Dwight Howard is too.
I know, but I think Bam and Jokic are very different players, different body types, where I think Bam won't struggle nearly as much with Dwight Howard defending him as Jokic was struggling in that series. So I think the Heat will be fine. I think there's a lot of reasons. Like, Dan, I don't think it's very hard to talk yourself into the Heat winning this series based on...
I think nationally people will laugh at you. For
really?
Sure. Yeah, I don't think many people are going to pick them. Do you? Do you think many people are going to pick them?
I mean, they've made it this far, beating the Bucks, beating the Celtics. They have, you're right, they have LeBron and Anthony Davis, two best players in the series, but the Heat have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
We'll see today when the picks start coming out. I imagine most people... The Lakers are favored -440 series price.
That's a big number, man. Oof.
I mean, it's actually a little smaller. I was hearing that it was going to be -500. So,
Mike, against the Bucks, the Heat were what? Plus
360.
260, which, I thought. No, 360?
No, plus, yeah. I got them pretty much at the same price for this series. I'm taking the Miami Heat in this series. I've only heard one prediction so far. Zach Harper took Miami in six. I imagine, overwhelmingly, they're going to be picking the Los Angeles Lakers. I don't think Dwight is the guy that guards Bam. I think Anthony Davis is the guy that guards Bam, because that's the guy that can keep up.
I just don't know how they're going to use Dwight is what I meant to say.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Probably it's probably more of a JaVale series. We'll see. I don't know. I don't think Miami's going to play zone against the Los Angeles Lakers. It worked against the Boston Celtics, and it's cute, but there's a reason why we only flash that really against Boston. I think we just have to outshoot Los Angeles. We have to outshoot them, and I think they can. Miami won an Eastern Conference Finals with really having only one good shooting performance from the outside in the game that they needed to in Game 6. This is, don't try to apply logic and reason carrying over what you saw last year. That was like a year ago when Miami played them without Goran Dragic at home, and it was a very tight game. I know Miami went over there and got drubbed, only put up 80 points, but it was on the last leg of a road trip. This is a whole new series, a whole new season. I think Jimmy Butler, we were always saying, if Jimmy Butler is your third best player, you can be a championship team. I don't know if it's exactly that, but I think we're starting to see the seeds of that.
Well, the thing that was crazy to me about yesterday is Bam hasn't had that game all season. Like, he chose a pretty good time to have that game. Iguodala hasn't had that game all season, literally all season. I'm not exaggerating. I'm looking at game logs and telling you that those are the two in that spot. That's why they stayed with Iguodala throughout the fourth quarter, Stugatz. Yep. Iguodala has not had that basketball game. They traded for the hope that Iguodala would have that basketball game a couple of times and bother Giannis a little bit and bother LeBron a little bit.
He was great last night. I've mocked him pretty good, but he did have that game. He had that quarter. That 4-3 that he hit when he was feeling it and he gave you the double threes on the way back, that was a goosebump moment.
Yeah, I mean, he'll do that. And Iguodala operates in this special piece of real estate now where if he just has one good game out of seven, but he does that, it's just like, that's why we acquired him. And after the 7 minutes where he fouled a bunch of three-point shooters, it's really cool to see what Bam did. We saw him take another leap. He was like, okay.
He was embarrassed by how he played in game five.
He's like, okay, Tice, I'm going to start driving to the hoop from half court. Try and stop it. It was a switch that flipped in his mind, and everyone realized, including Boston, oh, shit, we got nothing for this. Let's just start bombing threes and hope they go in because that's our only way back because Bam is going to eat as much as he wants with two-pointers.
You thought that was something that a light went off or you thought that was design? I don't know the answer. That we'll ask Tyler Hero at 11:30.
I don't know. I thought it was pretty telling. There was a moment in which Bam Adebayo has the ball at the top of the key, and Tyler Hero's starting to feel it after struggling. I was in group chats where like, ooh, this is Jeremy Lin game vibes. They're starting to erase
Tyler. Just because he had a couple of turnovers.
So there was a cool moment where Bam has the ball at the top of the key, and you can see Tyler like a little puppy like running off a screen for the handoff. And that's like Miami's vintage play. Duncan and Bam, that handoff.
He didn't give it to him. He didn't give it to him.
He gave it to Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler couldn't wait to give the ball to Tyler Hero, who does the very same thing, little scrappy puppy dog, and gets the ball with 5 seconds left. And you can kind of tell Bam Adebayo is like, okay, we're not doing that. It's great that Tyler has the guts, but Tyler's 20 years old. And it's really cool that Jimmy Butler trusts him, even though we saw a little bit more of an aggressive Jimmy Butler. That's all fine and dandy. But Bam Adebayo from then on was bringing the ball down court and attacking the rim. And it was yet another way the Miami Heat could beat you. They unveiled another way they can beat
you. Well, that one's interesting because I saw a scout, Stugatz. An anonymous scout was actually quoted as saying that Adebayo and Tice was a push. Like, that guy should be fired. Like, someone needs to hunt that guy down and not allow him to evaluate players anymore. But when you're watching last night, speaking to what Mike is speaking of, right? Dragic wasn't playing in the fourth quarter. Dragic has won them games. You know, it is only going to be for whatever Dwight Howard did to Jokic. There are only two guys for the Lakers who are going to win games. Like, even if Kuzma gives you something, he's going to give you 17 in a game. That's what, like, he's not going to explode for something where he's their leading scorer.
It's going to be LeBron or Anthony Davis. The Heat have different guys every night. I mean, it was Duncan Robinson last night.
It was Bam last night.
Right. And Duncan played well, though. He was 5 of 7 from three.
He did play well, and he was out there specifically to spread the floor. He is out there to shoot. So that not even to make shots. He really isn't out there to make shots. He is out there to shoot from distance, so they have to guard it so that everything gets opened up. And what he makes, that's why Spoelstra, I was surprised this preseason when they were talking in all of those press conferences and Spoelstra was just saying, I want him to shoot as, I don't care if it goes in. I just want him to keep shooting because it creates the openings that right. Bam had. But at any time in history, Stugatz, and this is the stuff that happens with the local emotion and when people get carried away, and I wonder how the national audience listening to this is experiencing the Homer stuff in it. At any time in history, we would laugh at the idea of they can beat you with any number of guys going up against LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Like, If you got a bunch of guys who can win games, you don't have any as good as the ones that they have.
Right.
And so that's the part. That's the part that I have a hard time talking myself into, even as I see them shooting in the bubble against that defense. Against that defense, Dugatz, because the Laker defense is just as good. It's getting harder every round, as it should. Both of these teams have lost three games in the playoffs. The Lakers blew through the playoffs as well. It was Rockets, it was Nuggets, it was Portland. It was one loss, all easy series for LeBron.
Lakers expected to do that, though. The Heat were not.
That is correct. They were expected to do that, but they went and did it, and they did it in a dominant fashion, and they did it with the game that Bam gave you. LeBron gave you a better one in Game 5.
He did.
That's the best game we've ever seen from Bam. That's LeBron doing again what LeBron does.
Yeah, I don't know how telling it is the way they celebrate their conference title, but Miami's really enjoying this Eastern Conference title, and as well they should, because no one had this 5 seed doing it. Lakers did the thing like, yeah, I told you, we were going to dismiss them there, barely touched the trophy. J.R. Smith is taking his cute pictures with it, and Dion Waiters is taking his pictures with it. But the Lakers, this season's all about championship or bust. That's not the case with Miami. This is absolutely a bit of a destination. That being said, I want the smoke. I don't fear LeBron. This is house money. House money. Yeah, I'll probably get invested in ways that it'll hurt if Miami lose this series, but I am so beyond thrilled with what this team gave me at a time that I think we all needed it, that I'm here for LeBron. Just went through Boston, just went through the two-time reigning MVP. I absolutely want to beat LeBron James, because people are going to try to take stuff away from whoever the champion is, right? Not if you beat LeBron.
Stugatz, I would have said, with the Heat up 3-1, okay, I would have said, if the Heat had lost the next three games to Boston, this season has already been a success. Like, up 3-1. 100%. If they had lost that series, it would have been okay to lose that series. I love a tweet that Dragonfly Jones had where he said, in any other time in American history in Miami, Tyler Hero has that 37.1 turnover game, and everyone takes him out for the night of his life in Miami. Instead, he goes back by monorail to his hotel room and eats a Nature Valley bar.
Thank God. I mean, seriously.
I still think he had the night of his life.
Yeah, he might have because
he's going a little viral.
He's got a friend. He's got a friend via Instagram.
I want to penetrate that bubble. And it's in the room.
Yes.
Given the social media. So I think Tyler had a good night. I think the Miami Heat really enjoyed that. It feels really good to be Jimmy Butler right now. Feels really good. And he's doing it, trusting people, saying that wouldn't get him to the playoffs if he wasn't on this roster.
He wasn't that good last night. He was okay, but it's not like he was winning the game in the fourth quarter. It's not like he was making any of the threes. Like, you still don't trust him. You trust him less than just about anybody on the team taking threes.
It's weird, because when he passes up open threes, but when he decides to actually take a three, it's like a junk shot. Jimmy Butler is a good player. And Jimmy Butler has been consistently this, like, it'll raise your eyebrows when he has, like, that crazy 40-point
game. Well, but
those are the outliers.
But, yeah, you don't expect that. No. Like, that was to me, that was shocking to see Jimmy Butler go for 40.
I like the game he had last night where it's 22 points, 8 assists, and he was plus 18. Like, to me, that's Jimmy Butler.
The passing.
And that's the Heat when they're at their best, when he doesn't have to score 40.
The percentage of buckets that were assisted last night, I think you saw, it was a beautiful game to watch. The defense wasn't much there, but you saw two teams that kind of figured each other out 6 games into a series. And those are two really good defensive teams. And it didn't really matter all that much, because at that point, we'll exploit what you're giving us. We'll exploit what you're giving us. And you just got to out execute. And the Miami Heat did that.
Well, you say it didn't really matter. And I would object to what it is you're saying, because when it came to season deciding time, those Celtics were taking an awful lot of threes they were missing. Like, it wasn't
right.
All of a sudden, all that aggression that that you get at the rim, like, it was Kemba from far away. It was Marcus Smart from far away. It was Tatum from far away.
They
can make those shots.
Yeah, but they collectively, I think, realized they just simply didn't have an answer for that Bam. Because Bam had been good in moments in this series. He was coming off a bad game. He didn't quite flash that until Game 6. And I think they all realized the only way we can win this game is by bombing from the outside at this point.
There's going to be that moment in the finals where LeBron is guarding. He's matched up against Tyler Herro, right? Just to stop Tyler.
Well, the thing that you say, though, you say the thing that you said that makes me wonder, and I really don't know how the matchups are going to work. Maybe Mike's right and we don't see very much of Dwight Howard. But the thing that you said about the number of guys that can beat you, you're saying LeBron on Tyler Herro, but you could say that if he's on Jimmy Butler. You could say it's on Bam, right? Like, you could say if someone's got, like, if Bam is doing what he's doing last night, caving in defenses, then sure as hell you're going to get LeBron on him.
Yes.
And so, like, I don't know who it is that I'm looking forward to seeing LeBron on. I mean, if he could do it to Jamal Murray, he could do it to anybody the Heat have, but who's it going to be?
Got no idea how Miami defends, and that's a credit to how versatile the team is, how and just how wacky this year is, because I can't carry over regular season anymore because it's a brand new season. But historically, Miami's a lot of guys that coaches would put on and designate the LeBron stopper. Andre Iguodala won a finals MVP being that guy. Jay Crowder has been acquired in attempts to be that guy. I think you're going to see a lot of switching. I think LeBron James is going to see a lot of defenders, just the same way that Giannis did. We didn't really play zone, and the Miami Heat first unveiled zone against Giannis Antetokounmpo. They didn't really play that. It was just ball denial and trap you when you get to the baseline. So I think LeBron James is going to see a lot of defenders.
Can Bam guard LeBron?
I think he can try, yeah. He can certainly. LeBron James' strength, his unprecedented strength, is being that size and being able to drive to the hoop. We didn't really see Bam have to do that too much against Giannis, but that's the comp, right?
I thought, and I said erroneously, that Giannis was going to get Bam in foul trouble. LeBron and Anthony Davis have to get Bam in foul trouble, no?
If not, they're going to complain to the refs. They've already done that. They've sent out memos. You're going to see a lot of free throws.
But we haven't seen the Miami Heat hurt by foul trouble. Kemba Walker was hurt by foul trouble in this series. We have not seen, there has not been a whole lot of
the Duncan stuff. Oh, I think,
well, yes, Duncan really, yes, hurt. Duncan got into foul trouble. But it's funny that you say that, because I just thought of the Heat as four guys basically that can beat you. That Duncan's not one of the guys who's going to lead them in scoring. That Duncan's always going to be a complimentary guy.
It is cliche because Miami has a lot of different guys that can hurt you, but with this team, like, Golden State had a lot of guys that can beat you. And the problem was they would share the ball and be so great at moving the ball that all those guys that could beat you would get open looks. Miami's the same way. It's just not Klay Thompson. It's not prime Andre Iguodala. And we're all trying to get adjusted to what this means. But this is a really good basketball team, and I like our chances.
You'd rather have Duncan Robinson than Danny Green, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that roster construction, go through it. This is one of the more bizarre teams that LeBron's ever taken to the finals. And because of injury, he once was relying on Matthew Dellavedova. He's got Anthony Davis, which is on his level at this point. But after that,
it's not a good shooting team, right? The Lakers, I have not looked at the numbers recently.
Danny Green's not had a good year for Danny Green.
In the bubble, the Lakers had not been a good shooting team until the playoffs got going, and then they became a better shooting team.
I mean, fair to say LeBron would rather be playing with this Heat team than the Laker team, right? They're the better team, let's be honest.
It's an interesting conversation.
Thank you.
Because if LeBron James were on this team...
Why are you saying...
I don't know. It's rare where I get a compliment. It
wasn't even a compliment.
It felt like one, though.
He was just saying...
I'm saying LeBron would rather be in the Heat. Yeah.
It was a filibuster. He didn't have an immediate answer for the question, so he just said that's a good question.
I'm just applying what we've seen.
Thank you.
With LeBron teams. Historically, you have the most success when you surround LeBron with shooters, right? And Miami Heat have the shooters. They tried to acquire the shooters. Kawhi Leonard tried to make sure that they had a weak as team as possible, but Danny Green isn't the same Danny Green. But I'm sure in the finals, he'll be denying every single fast break that we have, and he'll turn it on to that zombie Danny Green that we've seen. Caldwell Pope is erratic. It's a weird team. Rondo's actually shooting the ball quite good for Rondo.
Will someone please explain to me, okay, because it is sometimes confusing to me. I don't know what Brad Stevens saw that made him insert Williams. I don't know what it is that made Spo say, tonight is the night that I am going to keep riding Iguodala in the fourth quarter, and I'm going to bench Goran Dragic. Okay. Yeah. But I want an answer to this question, and I will not rest until I get it. Why is Solomon Hill continually getting 5 minutes? Does anyone in our audience have a question?
The Hill minutes.
Have an answer for why it is that Solomon Hill continues to get just a five-minute burst? Are they trying to disorient the opponent with who is this guy and why does he look so haggard?
If it's not broken, Dan, don't fix it. And if Solomon Hill playing five meaningless minutes every single game is propelling you to an NBA Finals, then you just ride it out. And you continue to give him five meaningless minutes. He didn't take a single shot. He didn't have a single assist. He didn't make a single play. I'm not even certain he fouled anyone, but he played his 5 minutes.
And Solo certainly knows the gravity of the situation anytime he checks in, because he has posted to his Instagram a photo of him holding up the Eastern Conference trophy there.
Yeah.
I could have folded. Thank God I'm not built like that. He could have folded in those 5 minutes that he got, Dan. But he's not built like that. I'm not quite sure how he's built.
Stugatz, you owe him an apology because he got a defensive rebound. You're out here saying he didn't contribute at all.
My bad.
Defensive rebound minus one for the game.
My bad.
I haven't listened to enough takes about this series that I could steal. I just have no idea.
LeBron hates that they're playing. I mean,
yeah, totally. Did you see that? You could tell when Shaq's just making shit up. Did you see that stuff? Roy, Shaq saying they want Miami. And then he was
really?
pressed on like his sources. He's like, I know, they want Miami. I'm sure Dion Waiters wants Miami, because I think Dion Waiters is guaranteed a championship ring now, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
he was a real winner from last night. Dion Waiters, NBA champion. That's the main takeaway.
He'll play the same amount for either team, so it doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
I've stopped watching the Jets, same for by either the way. Team. I just stopped watching it.
I don't blame you.
You're terrible.
You'll be back Thursday.
I will. I'll be back when they get what's-his-face from Clemson.
Trevor Lawrence?
Yes.
That is until Miami erases him from the top of the draft boards. And he gets replaced by De'Aaron King.
Did this week for the Jets started with a pick six, right?
Yep.
I was listening to Red Zone.
Yeah.
And Scott Hansen at one point just goes, "This is an incredible stat. You're not going to believe this. Right now, the Colts defense is averaging 26.5 points, or they have 26.5 fantasy points for the week. That's top 10 out of any player, running backs and quarterbacks included. Right yeah. now, the Colts defense is one of the top fantasy performers of the week."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They outscored the Jets 16-7, I believe. The defense. They had two touchdowns, a safety. The Jets had 7 points. I'm f***ing tired of them. I'm sorry.
Your team's under 500?
Yeah.
I was curious. It must sting.
Your team's over 500 for the first time in 6 years.
I've got no frame of reference for what that feels like, guys. I'm just here 2-1 with an extra playoff spot in my conference now all of a sudden. Got a good system QB. Got the league's best rushing attack. Odell Beckham Jr. being a willing teammate.
Right.
Things are looking up in Cleveland.
He's a system quarterback now.
Yeah.
Do we need to talk about football today? Because I'd rather spend the time, all our time today, talking Miami stuff. I need some help from the young people in our audience because, as you may know, I am fossilizing at a precipitous rate. You may have heard me confuse Reese Davis and Carl Ravitch a little bit earlier. I don't know if I heard Stugatz correctly or not, but when you were talking about the Solomon Hill minutes, the Solly Hill minutes, as you call them, you said something. It throws everything off its blank.
I said axis.
Okay, you said access, right? Or you said axis?
I was saying if Spo doesn't play him those five meaningless minutes, the Solly Hill minutes, then it will throw everything off its axis, is what I was trying to say. I'm not certain how it came out.
It's well and fine, because if it's not me being old, it's you being old. But help me with this.
It could have been access.
I need some help from Tony and Roy and Billy. Chris is not here. Again, he said we'd see him like game two or game three of the finals, because he just went sprinting into the street. with a whole lot of alcohol, and he was totally nude, and he was screaming, and because he was very happy with how his teams are doing.
He was wearing his shoes. The floor is icky.
He was wearing Crocs, yes, but only Crocs. And I want some help with this right here, because I am not on the Insta, but I have been told that Tyler Hero has shot his shot at Kyle Kuzma's ex. What does that mean? What do I do with this? I mean,
all of it.
He shot the shot.
What is Insta?
He shot the shot.
Landed. Yeah. He made it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He
landed. Yeah. She's in the bubble with him.
Drained it, actually, from three way downtown.
Yeah. Three. Yeah.
And so how's that going to go?
I mean, you think that this is the first time in NBA history two NBA players have been with the same woman? I don't know why Joe Tess broke that down, do you?
I don't know, but I also don't know how that impacts a series when we know about it. When we
how
all
does
know
it impact
about
the
it?
Series when one of them is 20 and the other one tries to dress like he's 20.
But this isn't new, Dan. So let me tell you about something that happened on the Insta this weekend that when you see in a couple weeks will horrify you. Apparently, La Carreta is still a thing. Pandemic be damned. People are going to be out there. There's going to be no masks. There's going to be pots and pans. There's going to be screaming. There's going to be the guys in the back of the pickup truck just waving dead palm fronds out of the back of the thing. There's going to be peeling out. And also, over the weekend, I guess bars are open again, right? And conga lines seem to be cool. It doesn't matter. Just grab any stranger next to you. Play some loud music. If you dance fast enough, I guess you can't get sick. I don't know what's going on, but I feel like in a couple weeks, we're going to know what's going on.
Did you guys see the scene of the elbow room, by the way?
Oh, my God. I saw it.
No, it was crazy out here on the beach this weekend, too. It was like Mardi Gras out here.
That's a bizarre news dump by Ron DeSantis to catch everybody by surprise, including local government, by saying, hey, Wild West, everything's back open again. No one had a plan. We are all fully open, except nightclub establishments that are just waiting for clarification that elected officials need clarification on.
I don't know what that has to do with Kyle Kuzma and,
I have no idea.
And what it is.
Well, because Dan, you just found out about the, you know, the Tyler Hero situation on Instagram. I'm telling you, only a day. It was wild this entire weekend, but last night in particular, and you're not going to like what you see. I'm just telling you right now. I felt so old because I'm watching and I'm like, maybe I'm going to sit this one out. Maybe let me put on a mask. Maybe let me be a little bit further away from people just to kind of be safe and see how things play out here. Because, guys, just because you can do it doesn't mean you need to do it. And now I feel like I'm a parent telling people, hey, maybe wear your mask and be safe anyways. Because I'm telling you, conga lines. I didn't even know people still did conga lines. But there's some bar that's open and they're playing the music. And they're like just grabbing people from booths and just bringing them in. And they have the sticks that light up. And then did you see the other thing? You know that meme with the, the casket and the guys dancing with the casket? Only in Broward, which I didn't know was a thing until this weekend, put out a video on Only in Broward. Apparently there was some pool party somewhere at some club. I don't know where it was. And they had a casket. They had a casket and a girl with a bottle inside the casket. And that's how they're delivering the bottle to the person that bought the bottle. They're playing the meme music and the guys are dancing with a casket on their shoulder and the bottle girl in the middle of the casket going to give this expensive bottle to whoever. Play in a casket. What are we doing?
We're doomed.
How old am I?
So we're going to throw it back to high school, Dan, I think, in these finals, because obviously the woman in question is now inside the bubble. Tyler's there. Kuzma's there. She's going to be at the game somewhere perched out watching this game. I mean, we anything could happen.
I think that is pretty good analysis there, and I don't know how to do the analysis on, for example, because I don't know who some of these people are. Evidently, the Steelers' backup quarterback situation, I don't know how this happens, the dating choices of someone, a bachelor contestant, a former bachelor contestant, has dated both backup quarterbacks with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so when you put it on, I understand your point that you think that this is the first time NBA players have ever dated the same woman, but Kyle Kuzma is a bit of an Instagram model / influencer himself. And also Kyle Kuzma doesn't generally allow women who are with him to have their faces or heads shown in his Instagram choices.
Oh, the detectives have been out, though. There was an IG photo that she put out in which you could recognize a Kyle Kuzma tattoo grabbing a hold of a certain body part there, Dan. Secrets like this don't get kept for long, but don't overlook the professionalism of ballers in this situation. You know, there's a Hot 97 Summer Jam, right? And I'm pretty sure Amber Rose has walked through there. You don't think that's awkward for, like, literally everyone on that bill? They make it work with no drama.
Okay, but if Kuzma and Hero if there are some sparks there, all of a sudden you guys are going to be interested in that conversation, correct? If you see sparks.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. One of them is 20. The other one's 25, but he'll have you believe he's 17 years old. Those kids don't fight anymore, man. They'll just block each other on IG, and we'll escalate it that way. This is fine.
Wait, are you telling us that Mason Rudolph and Josh Dobbs dated the same person?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, that's what
Mason
I was...
Mason and Josh
yes,
Dobbs?
Yes, that's what I was telling you. Yeah, MAGA Mason and Josh Dobbs.
I was surprised to find out that Dobbs was back in Pittsburgh.
That is what I was telling you, Strigatz.
Really?
Thank you for clarifying that for the audience in the event that they didn't know how I was trying to talk around that. But yes, that is why I was sort of mystified as someone who's generally not judgmental about these things. How is it that you're making your choices when it comes to dating when those are your particular two choices?
Kyle Kuzma actually has important experience in this department because, I mean, every time he lines up against Ben Simmons and the Sixers, he's run into this situation. Tyler Hero is not the first new boyfriend that's popped up around Kyle Kuzma.
Well, Mike, I do need some help with this. Can you guys help me, though? Because I have absolutely skewed out of the demo, right? Never mind Pat Riley sort of at one time in his history fining players if they would fraternize or if they would help another player off the court or up off the court if they'd fallen down. But I am genuinely confused by, for example, all the Tristan Thompson stuff with reports of cheating regarding the Kardashian family, and then the specifics of that Ben Simmons relationship where it seems his entire life is being shown on Instagram where he is perpetually getting cheated on by now another, a billionaire Jenner, right? Who is now evidently, although I'm not keeping up on these things, they're hard to keep
You're
up.
You're not keeping up with the Kardashians?
Dating Devin Booker evidently now, correct?
God, I wish that the Kardashians would have made their way into the bubble. Could you imagine? That's what the bubble really needed. The Kardashians. That's the only thing that they didn't get this season. What do you think Pat Riley's room is like? I know that's not what we're talking about, but do you think he gets the same room as everyone else? Or do you think he goes to the front desk after he gets like his league assigned room and he's like, you know what? I'm going to splurge a little bit. I'm going to upgrade here. Pat Riley doesn't stay in the same room as, you know, Joe and Flo from Montana when they come to visit Mickey Mouse.
I don't know what the room situation is specifically in Disney and how high end those go, but generally Pat Riley's room has a grand piano in it.
What do you mean generally?
Does he play the piano?
No.
Do you have a lifetime contract with a piano maker now too, in addition to the Armani deal?
I mean, if he doesn't have a piano in it, does he get outraged? What happens?
No,
he wants his money back?
No, I'm not saying he requests a piano. I'm just saying that that is the stratosphere of elegance that we're talking about. I'm not saying that he wants a piano or is requesting a piano.
Right.
And it's actually not even... It's not even that special. Like Leonard Hamilton, when he was coaching Michael Jordan, had a grand piano. It's, you know, these hotels have high-end rooms, and the coaches tend to get the high-end rooms.
It seems like that take up a lot of space, a piano in a room.
Well,
right?
It seems like
a room without the piano.
It seems like it's a room with a lot of space is the point, Billy.
Yeah, but if you don't play piano, who wants a grand piano in their room?
Exactly.
Give me something else.
These people operate on a different level. I can't imagine going down to the receptionist and saying, hey, look, is there a problem with the room, sir? Yeah, actually, there is.
My piano's out of tune.
Where's the grand piano? this is not... What kind of establishment are you running here? I'm practicing Bach.
There's only two teams left in the bubble, though. I imagine Riley has a whole floor of a hotel.
Well,
now,
it's
right?
Weird because Spoelstra was calling up to the owner's box in that arena, and Zoe was there, and he called Pat the Godfather. Godfather's still wearing the mask upside down on purpose now.
It's got to be superstition. My father's been wearing the same underwear for 3 weeks, he told me the other day.
And he was saying, we got to get some rapid tests so we can enjoy this with you guys. I don't know if this is an optics thing or if that's the NBA manual, that Pat Riley and Mickey Arison and Alonzo Mourning can't be around the team.
No, it's the protocol. It is the protocol because they're at a higher risk. And so I don't know whether that was violated or not, but I know that they're frustrated by the amount of distance that there has to be.
At this point, though, they've been in the bubble longer, but people are coming from outside the bubble and fraternizing with that circle. So I have to imagine at some point they're going to be able, if, say, Mickey Arison wins a title, like, protocol be damned. He's finding a way on that court.
So to be 100% clear, Katya has more access to the Heat than Pat Riley does at this point.
That is correct.
Who do you guys think Wade is rooting for? Just out of curiosity.
This one's easy.
Just some chum in the water.
This one's easy because I know he's brothers with LeBron, but he also has like a big brother relationship with Jimmy Butler, and this is super cool. Although, kind of has to be a hit to the ego that this is happening the year after you retire.
Well, it not only has to be a hit to the ego, he's got to be wondering, oh man, maybe I should have stayed like one more year. I could have been Iguodala. I could have been veteran presence Iguodala. Like, that one, right?
I don't know if they're here in this exact spot with, you know, the cool part about this season has been the growth and development of the young players and the ball movement and the passing.
I think Mike's right. I think Wade ruins everything. I don't think Solly, I don't think we get the five Solly Hill minutes. I mean, all of it. Yeah.
I don't know if Miami Heat are here, and that's fine. That's fine.
Billy, can you give me some guidance, please? When Tyler Hero comes on with us at 11:30, should I tiptoe around any of this stuff with Kuzma? Do you have any guidance for me?
Oh, no.
Just
that
don't,
seems like a bad idea. Just, I mean, you
can leave that to us.
I mean, honestly, is my guidance going to change anything anyways? Probably not. So just do whatever you want. I don't think it's a good idea, but.
No, please don't.
So just talk about it on the air behind his back, but don't ask him
precisely
anything.
Precisely. What do you think this is around here?
Yes. Yeah, you're getting
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yep.
We hung 50 on the Florida State Seminoles. That's nuts. That's crazy. The Miami Hurricanes did to bad teams what really good teams do on a national stage. They have a quarterback. They have an offensive line that gave up 10 sacks to Florida last year that, according to Pro Football Focus, hasn't been responsible for a single sack through three games right now. No turnovers from the quarterback. A quarterback that is 3 years older than Tyler Hero. I'm playing like he's mature. I still don't trust the receivers, but damn it, Dan. We got a football team down here.
The offensive line, that's been shocking to watch. They were terrible last year. They were averaging a 5 sacks a game, Stugatz.
Right. Like,
and you remember, you mentioned Florida. To me, Florida stood out this week, and Florida's offense is good. Florida is going to be a good football team offensively this year. I don't know what Mississippi is offensively. They put whatever it was on almost 30 on them.
That was hilarious to watch because I was like, Costello, where do I know that name? It was a crappy Stanford quarterback that's a grad transfer. And SEC fans, I know you're getting dunked on by Mississippi State fans, but they have been crushing Mike Leach for a decade. Your cartoon offense, come do that down here week in, week out. And he goes to Death Valley in his first week in the SEC and sets a passing record with a grad transfer.
They have a bunch of guys who are out. But Mike, just back to the Canes for a second. And you're right. Like, it was super impressive what Mississippi State and Mike Leach did. Let's see if, you know, if he can continue to do it, because usually it flames out at some point. But with the Canes, you say we have a football team. You'll probably know in a week if you have a football team or not, right? Yeah. I mean, you play Clemson.
Well, wait a minute. Have you talked?
It's a lot going to be there.
Have you talked yourself into they can play with Clemson?
I think they can. I think they can score with Clemson right now. It's tough to tell, right? Because you don't have non-conference games. So I still don't know if the ACC is bad or anything. I kind of feel like, I know Florida State's the worst team on our schedule. I like UAB over Florida State. Louisville lost by 3 at Pitt, but is Pitt one of the best defenses in the nation? I don't know, because Pitt's not traveling to a Big Ten school and getting their heads caved in. So it's very difficult. I think Miami can score with anybody. the last 2 weeks, the plan from these defenses, and say what you will about FSU, but they have some really good defensive talent that's going to go high in the NFL draft. We'll sit back and you got to beat us with your arm. And De'Aaron King's making great decisions. He's making even better throws than decisions. And he's beating teams doing this. Now, Clemson's a different animal. They got the athletes.
Well, forgive my ignorance on this. Help me, because I'm not properly informed on this. I know LSU lost a bunch of people, and so that line seemed fat because people didn't know what Mississippi State had. So LSU was like a 17-point favorite, but LSU lost a lot of people. I don't actually know how good Clemson's defensive line is. I know it was great 2 years ago, but they lost a lot of guys from 2 years ago. And so I don't know how much havoc they can cause defensively because they've played Wake Forest and Citadel.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of team Clemson is. I haven't seen enough. Wake Forest had a game canceled against Notre Dame. If they put up a respectable performance against Notre Dame, you could say, whoa, wow, how good is Clemson? There's just, it's year over year, especially in a year like this. What I'm encouraged by is the offense looks better every week, and that's expected considering the unprecedented circumstances with like no spring, really, limited contact in practice. They're getting better week to week. I think they can score with Clemson. The defense has also been improving. I think they, FSU's receivers, their top three receivers combined for one catch and 2 yards in that game against
Miami.
That's
because their quarterback is so bad, though. They're,
which one? They both of them. Blackman's never going to beat the University of Miami. That's a bad football team.
But this is such a weird year in that it was exciting. Yeah, the first full week, really, this past weekend. There were a ton of upsets. But I'm looking at the playoff predictor that ESPN has, and it's amazing because a team like UCF right now, Dan, has a 28% chance of making it to the Final Four. That's right behind Wisconsin, Clemson, Alabama, and Ohio State. Well, you're going to have a weird Final Four this year, I think.
UCF can score with anybody.
I know.
Like UCF's offense, UCF has been the best school in the state for the last, I don't know, 5 years?
Yeah, I'm just pointing out, like, BYU has a 15% chance right now of making it to the Final Four just because the schedule is shortened. They're not playing out-of-conference games. It's a weird, and the Canes are sitting at 1% right now, by the way. That's because of Clemson, though.
Well, it's a measuring stick game. It's really to see how much ground do we have to make up between this matchup with Clemson and hopefully the next matchup with Clemson in the ACC title game. I want to come away encouraged. I am not going into this game thinking that we can win. I can go into it hoping that we'll see something special. It's not really Death Valley if there's still like rigidities in terms of who they can allow in.
Oh, but I'm not even doing road game though. Like, to me, the analysis, and again, I speak from a point of ignorance because it's not like I have studied the Clemson roster. I'm simply assuming that based on the success that they have had, that they've gotten whatever recruits they've wanted for the last several years. And the reason that I wouldn't like Miami's chances is simply, wow, Miami's quarterback's great, and they're fighting uphill at that position in that game as well. Miami's quarterback is great. He is a great quarterback. He is a quarterback you would like to build around. A lot of teams would want him. Clemson would not. Clemson would be fine with the guy that they have.
It's the one team they'll play this year, the Canes, where their quarterback, who is great, you're right, will be the second-best quarterback on the field.
This is a good time for UM to play them, though, right? Like, if they keep it close and they lose, there's plenty of weeks to rebound after this. And if your only loss is against the number one team in the country, and that's a week away, the Hurricanes have a bye week this week, so they could move up in the rankings. It'll be one against, let's say, six if they move up, right? If their only loss on the season is one and then you go undefeated the rest of the way, they have a decent resume to get in the Final Four, and then you'll see what happens. As long as they keep it close, losing to Clemson at this point in the year isn't the worst thing that can happen. It's better to do it now than at the end of the season and be like number three and then you lose to one and then you're out of the playoffs.
Lose early.
I'm with you. Get ready for the arguments where like an undefeated Oregon that's only played seven games is going up against a Miami that has two losses, but they're both to
Miami
Clemson.
Miami owns the pandemic. The city of Miami benefits from all sorts of weird mutations. Like, it's the only way our baseball team, even Billy, diehard sports fan, Billy, diehard Marlins fan since he was 6 years old, Billy wouldn't be out here making arguments on behalf of the Marlins making the playoffs if the season was 162-game season. But a Miami football team playing this mutated, weird schedule where you know their defensive ends are good. I think their offensive line is good, and I don't understand why their offensive line is good because it was young and terrible last year, but I didn't expect it to be young and terrible and then make a leap to not allowing any pressures.
Is it fair to say that we're the best at sports? I mean, is that fair?
Pandemic sport.
Yeah. You're right. We have dominated pandemic sports.
We're the best. When rules go out the window, we excel.
When rules go out the window, we've got a casket delivering liquor at a pool.
Who approves that? Like, who's the manager or whatever of that?
No one approves casket? It. No one
yeah, cares. We have the budget for that. Yeah, we can get that in the budget. Casket, sure.
It's just approval. Miami.
Do it, Bill.
Billy, I can't even imagine your level of fear in all circumstances. I can't imagine the horror with which you looked at videos coming out of Miami and the governor now allowed things. And I believe, and this is dangerously close to political talk, but we are sitting here and just getting a whole bunch of flooding the market with just a bunch of distractions that like just super saturating the market with scandals so that you turn, you look up and you don't notice that Trump has paid $750 in taxes like in the last several years. Like that's,
everything's moving so fast. It's hard to keep track of all of them. It's hard to keep track of sports. It feels like the Marlins clinched the playoffs 2 weeks ago.
What's wrong with that?